Good evening and welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Allie Lightfoot. The Dirty Bourbon River Show played at the Paradise Cedar in Paonia last Friday. This New Orleans big brass band plays what they call circus rock music. Drawing from a diversity of musical backgrounds, six musicians play a revolving set of instruments. Local musician John Hickam and I spoke with the band's frontman Noah, saxophone and clarinet player Matt, and vocalist Sandra Love right after their show. Here, Matt talks about why the band loves touring Colorado.
We've been to Colorado almost twice a year, almost every year since 2011. We started branching out a little bit. We went to Palisades this past summer and been to Carbondale. So,
yeah, Colorado likes you.
Oh, yeah. New Orleans and Colorado have this whole thing. It's like opposite sides of a coin, but like people here love music and we love playing it, you know, mm-hmm. And it's so different from home.
Are any of you actually, like, born and raised in New Orleans, or did you come there later?
Oh, Matt's from there. I was born on the moon, and I moved to New Orleans 8 years ago.
I believe it. Okay. So you are from there?
Yeah. Dane, the drummer, and I, we're both born and raised out there. Everybody else kind of, you know, it kind of draws people in. John Goodman had a really good quote about how some people just, like, find their way there and kind of fixes something in their DNA or something like that. But, yeah, it draws people in. I've known Jimmy for a long time. We went to college together. And everybody kind of wanders in and things click, you know? Mm-hmm.
Sandra Love joined the Dirty Bourbon River Band for this tour as a backup vocalist and is the only woman in the group.
I will say I've learned a lot from traveling with a bunch of guys. I've had to learn a lot of things go. You know, I will say the boys like to kind of, you know, they're gentlemen first and foremost, but sometimes they like to, you know, gang up with, you know, on me. They don't mean to, but, it, you know, being the only female, sometimes you have to put your feelings, to the emotions to the side and realize, you know, we're all here for a common goal, and it's not about gender, you know, it's about being, you know, part of the team. So I'll say, the boys are like my brothers, and, you know, it's been a good experience. But I definitely have a different perspective on boys and men in general, you know, after being on tour.
Like, what changed?
Well, I will say, like, just being in close quarters with so many boys, you know, and you know, we stay in a band and we travel all together. It's just things I never thought about, like personal things, you know. Sometimes you want your privacy, sometimes you want to hide, you know, and like, you know, being a female, sometimes going through female things, you're like, oh my goodness, can I get some feminine energy around me right now? But, you know, sometimes you just want to adapt and try to be more tougher and be like one of the boys. I think it's kind of affected me personally too, just like maybe even like how I operate and how my body operates, you know, being around this testosterone all the time, you know.
John Hickam's band, the Grizzly Pears, opened up for the Dirty Bourbon River Show. John asked about historical sounds that the band incorporates into their music.
This review for your Wolfman YouTube video, which I thought was hilarious, it's something about it's not 1880 anymore, you guys suck or something, which was just, I thought was so funny because I've been playing historical music for a long time, and you guys do a really good job with it. Do you consider yourselves traditionalists or innovators, or is there something with that whole distinction that you take offense to? Or, I mean, where do you see yourselves in the linear concept of American music? Are you at the front end? Are you just kind of doing whatever? Or
how do you relate to historical music?
We come from that tradition. I mean, we know those songs. We play those songs. I've played brass bands. I've played funerals and weddings. You know, we all have. And it's the thing about that, about music, and I get this from a lot of people, is that people like to think that things sit still, and they never do. Like, music is constantly changing, and what some people might think you're screwing with an art form suddenly becomes, like, you know, 50 years down the line is going to be the new standard, you know? So, I mean, we're just really trying to be, you know, innovate and like pay homage to a lot of the people that we respect and look up to, but we're just doing our thing. I mean, we are all weird. We come from a lot of different musical backgrounds, and we kind of throw our things together. It's like a melting pot, and it comes out the way it does. You know, it's all these different genres that we've all played before, because New Orleans doesn't just have traditional jazz. We have rock and roll and blues and reggae and klezmer music, the whole deal. I mean, no matter what you do, not everybody's going to like it. And people are going to hate because they're going to hate or whatever. But, I mean, we're going to do what we do. Enough people like it to keep us on the road. So, you know, I'm not too worried about it.
Song Esmeralda from the Dirty Bourbon River Show. Dirty Bourbon's frontman Noah Adams directed the video for the song. I asked him about the actress featured in the video and the character she played.
You directed the video for Esmeralda, and who is that girl? Can you tell me about that girl? Because she played the role so very perfectly.
Yes, that's a phenomenal young actress named Olivia Lucardi. She's appeared in such television shows as Girls, Orange is the New Black, and House of Cards. And through Matt, we know her. And so we were like, you know, you should come down to New Orleans. Let's do a film. And she's like, all right, that sounds cool. And then we did, and it turned out good.
It did turn out good. Do you make other films?
I do. I make all sorts of movies.
Yeah. So that song, I know it was actually based on a real person, right? What's so appealing about a bad girl?
Who knows? You know, that's a good question. I think bad girls are, there's like two types of sexy. There's good girl sexy and bad girl sexy. And I think we like to, men, because we are so attention deficit, we We like to flip-flop between the two. And I think most of the times we want, like, good sexy. But every now and then, because we're strange creatures, we go for that bad sexy thing, which I think, you know, gets us into trouble sometimes. But, it's like an archetypal thing. I think since the dawn of time, man has always kind of sought that bad sexy. You know? And so I think that is who Esmeralda represents.
So Guar likes you guys.
Yeah, that's... we like Guar, too. Guar is awesome. Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Odorous.
When did you meet Guar?
We're very fortunate because our promoter in Richmond is actually the original founding bass player, the original Balzac for Guar, and he started with them. They were all a bunch of art kids in our VA like 30 years ago. And, you know, through him we met Dave Brocky, who was the frontman for Odorous, frontman Odorous, who just passed away recently. And we were really lucky. He actually spent his last birthday live at our show, and he kind of had all these wild concepts. He said, I'm going to come to New Orleans and start a band with you, and I'm going to be called Count Cocula. Wasn't that his name, Matt? And he's like, you're going to bring me out in a casket and sit me down, and we're going to busk till we raise $1,000, and I'm going to emerge from the casket, and we're going to do the show. And he was like super excited. And yeah, so he's just really fortunate to, through the original bass player, Chris Bopes, who's a huge kind of figure in the Richmond scene, put us in touch with that. And yeah, so it's cool to come in contact with that.
So who's like the caretaker on the tour bus, like the one who's always like making sure everyone's okay?
Combination of roles. At this point, we kind of tour manage ourselves. And one way to put it was that I try to make sure we get places we're supposed to be and things are the way they're supposed to be when we get there. And Jimmy makes sure everybody gets fed and just kind of like picks up all kinds of slack. He's kind of the guy who just like holds it all down. And then Noah is the mastermind who makes things happen. Yeah. You know, the show is happening, the music and everything like that. And we all kind of have our roles to play. But I mean, honestly, on a very practical level, like, Jimmy is like a strong backbone. He's the bass player. It's what he does, mm-hmm. But he cooks and he makes sure we have food, and he does a lot of the worst drives. He's a beast.
Huh, that's interesting. Do you think like people who play different instruments end up being like certain kinds of people? Because I know like if I go to a conference of radio people, all the program directors are kind of the same tribe. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like...
I think doing something on a regular basis, playing a certain role, configures your brain in a certain way. I mean, they've done studies about how playing music alters your brain chemistry, and it's supposed to be really good for you. But, somebody who's, like, holding things down and just, like, winds up being at the back of the stage and just kind of, like... It's the thing about bass players is like you would miss it if it wasn't there, and you always notice when they screw up. But when you don't notice the bass player, they're doing their job. Mm-hmm. But so he winds up just being like really just solid people. People like horn players were like lead guitarists. We're like showman. We're a little more out there, a little showman-y, and like your brain wanders a lot more. Like the front, there's definitely a difference, I think, and it's based on like what you focus on and how the parts of your brain you're using, and that just kind of develops into your personality a little bit. Wow. I mean, the more I've been on the road and performed a lot, I mean, I've come out of my shell a lot.
Are you shy?
Sort of. Used to be more so. Okay. You just kind of stop caring a little bit. You kind of enjoy yourself. But I think there's definitely something to, like, the role you play on a regular basis kind of ingraining itself into your personality a little bit, or maybe people with certain personalities are inclined towards certain types of instruments. Mm-hmm. It could go either way.
What's your vocal background, and how did you get started singing? And
well, I started as a little kid, started in choirs. I started as young as elementary school, and then throughout high school, and then I studied vocal performance at VCU. I also paid for my own voice lessons when I was in high school and stuff like that. And then after VCU, I joined some bands. I sang in churches and just never gave up my dream. And when I was living in Richmond, born and raised in Richmond, Virginia, I decided to move to Baltimore, Maryland, and then I formed a couple bands there, and then had a life change, and I had an opportunity to move to New Orleans, and then that's where Noah found me. So, I stayed with music as an adult, but, you know, never anything touring like this, and just never gave up, but always, you know, just sang with him. But I was classically trained at Virginia Commonwealth University, and just singing since I was a little kid with this dream, you know.
So what are you guys listening to in your tour van right now when you're driving over? Is there a CD that's playing over and over?
A lot of times we'll wind up listening to bands that we've met on the road. You know, people wind up giving us CDs, we'll exchange and we'll listen to that. But, I mean, I guess we've spent so much time in the van listening to things. I mean, we've spent, like brass band binges and, like, Balkan music binges and, like, different kinds of things. We go through phases. Right now we're actually on kind of a Rick and Morty kick. So we've been doing a lot of that, Rick and Morty.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, I love that show. It's animated. It's so real life. It's amazing. We're hooked. And we're actually going to be Rick and Morty for Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
All of you?
I'm going to be a Gazorbazorp. Yeah, Gazorbazorp lady. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. But Noah's going to be Rick, and Bootsy's going to be Dane. It's going to be Morty. What are you going to be?
Mr. Meeseeks. Yeah, got a blue bodysuit.
Oh, yeah.
It's gonna be awesome.
Jimmy's gonna be Birdman. Yeah. Birdman, and Adam is gonna be the guy with the ants in his eyes. I don't know what his name is. Yeah, yeah.
Good. You guys are ready for Halloween. That's good. What do you think of Paonia?
I like it. It's wild. It seems like a very diverse bunch of individuals.
What are some of the places you've been to that you'll never forget?
Like in Colorado or in North America?
Yeah. Anywhere.
I like Colorado. Colorado's amazing. It has good air, good people. Of course, New Orleans is awesome. We just played an awesome show in Asheville. I like the city. Brooklyn is nice to play at the Brooklyn Bowl. We went up to Portland, Maine once, had a giant crawfish they called the lobster. That was interesting. Also, we went to Portland, Oregon, and Washington. And next year, we're going to Europe, so that's exciting. And I think my favorite place to play is New Orleans, but I love playing everywhere because you see so many different types of people.
Stay with me a while if you want to. Lay your head to rest. Play your favorite song, one about the vagabond who strayed away from the nest. And I never wanted Beelzebub in your heart. What a nice light tonight we're all looking. Wandering around in the dark. Good night, moon. Good night, stars. Good night, scallywag streets, alleys, and vagabond bars. Good night. Wherever it is you are. Oh, on nights like tonight, we're looking for light, wandering around in the dark. Tonight we're all looking for light, wandering around in the dark.
That was the song Goodnight Moon from the Dirty Bourbon River Show. Musician John Hickam and I spoke with the band right after their performance at the Paradise Theater last Friday.
One thing, when I was, I spent some time in New Orleans, and it was so hot. Do you think that it's easier to play, like, greasy New Orleans brass band music when it's, you know, 100% humidity and 95 degrees out? Or, you know, I've always had trouble finding that groove when it's, you know, it's freezing and it's cold and it's dry. I mean, is climate part of that music?
I think the people that wound up being drawn there, like the culture and the people that wound up going to New Orleans, culminated in that sound. But that's definitely part of it. I mean, it's loose, you're hot, you're like, you know, sweating. That's part of the whole experience. You're not playing a good show in New Orleans if you're not soaked with sweat by the end of it. I think that's definitely part of it, that the Caribbean sound, like a lot of the African roots that is in that music, it carries over a lot. I mean, and honestly, like, coming up here, every time we get back, you get your lungs a little bit better, more used to that altitude. But, you know, it all like, when you're back at home and you're breathing water and, you know, you're sweating your ass off, I mean, that's where it's at. That's like, you know, you feel the music, you know. It's definitely a part of the experience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, Colorado's awesome. The one thing, it's not easy to play a horn up here because it's cold and it's dry. I mean, you know, there's a certain point of humidity, which is too much, but I think that, you know, I think what you're talking about definitely does hold a little true. When you're a little more lubricated in the air, you feel more a little lubricated in the groove. But it's cool because also New Orleans is like a really awesome challenge as a horn player as well. Because you had to learn to deal with the cold, your horn kind of fighting with you, and the air, you know, less air and stuff. And so I always notice after 1 week after touring in Colorado, once you go back down, you're always like a superhuman player because your red blood cell content is high and you've been like just playing in the element. So like, and then you get back down, you're like, oh, boom, boom. So it's cool, and it's a test playing up here too, like make sure that you don't keep your syncopation too frigid and that you have the groove in every step.
I mean, Colorado's, I remember the first time I played with them here, I almost passed out on stage. I had to grab the mic for a bit. So, yeah, the altitude got me the first time, but I've noticed an extreme change this time around just from practice. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
Be a dog, or you could be a monkey, or you could be a how, or you could be anything that you want. I wanna be an animal. I do you wanna be an animal? What have you called me a boy? You're a human at the
was the song Animal from the Dirty Bourbon River Show. Thank you for tuning in to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Stay tuned for All Songs Considered coming up next.